I got to go to the beach last week. My blood brother and I take my younger brother and sister camping at the beach at Assateague Island, just down the shore from Ocean City, Maryland. Has anyone been to Assateague Island before? It's wonderful. You have to give up a lot of comforts camping, but it's worth it. The people are really, really good who are camping there. Takes a special kind of person to want to do that on a beach. And there's a lot less people. One thing we do every year is take advantage of the great bike trails they have there. We can even bike to an ice cream store, which is really nice on a hot day. And we were all struck the last morning. A new family pulled in, big RV, and parked there in the camping spot. And a fellow at one point was outside of the RV on a stationary bike. It's like, he was even facing the biking trails. It's like, I couldn't figure it out. He looked like a healthy guy. He was actually dressed to the nines in, like, biking gear, too. I don't know. All right. For me, from my perspective, it seemed really weird for him to be in the presence of great bike trails and to settle for something much less. Sure, you still get exercise, but man, you're missing out on so much more that you can have riding on a nice bike trail. Something similar is going on in the readings today, the gospel reading especially. Jesus has just performed that miracle of the multiplication of the loaves we heard about last week, and now all the people are coming. They're excited. Jesus is probably feeling some human excitement too. The people are gathering around him. He's hoping, he's wondering, could this be the moment when they make the connection that the bread is not just meant to be physical nourishment, though it is, but a greater symbol of what God wants to do for them through himself, the bread of life. But it's one of those I like to call face palm moments in the gospel when Jesus hears their reply and has to go like this. Ugh. Because they've come because he says their stomachs have been filled. They're working for food that perishes. They were excited about all this free bread. And the Lord did his best to clarify, it's not the bread that I want you to be focusing on, not the physical nourishment you received, but the sign that harkens back to, yes, Moses in the desert and the manna, but points forward to something much greater, the bread of life that I will give you in the Eucharist. That is not really a mistake that we make today, and you all are here and not expecting to be fed physically. Hopefully you have plans for a nice breakfast or lunch after Mass to take care of that. But we can make a similar mistake on a spiritual level. We can come and settle for less. We can come and not realize truly how much grace God wants to give us in the Eucharist. And it's natural, I think, as time goes on for our fervor and our faith to sort of grow a little cold and need stirring up. And perhaps that's what the readings are meant to do for us today. And so I want to invite you to examine yourself. Do you come and expect miracles, great things to happen in your life, great amounts of grace to be poured in, to give you strength to make it through another week? And do you bring the things you struggle with, the things you're thankful for, those who need prayers with you, knowing that at that moment of communion, you're reunited, and your union with God is renewed. And at that moment, you have a special opportunity to receive grace for yourself and pray for others. Just to, as some encouragement, I'm going to read two sentences from the Catechism that explains a little of what happens here at communion. What material food produces in our bodily life, Holy Communion wonderfully achieves in our spiritual life. Communion with the flesh of the risen Christ preserves, increases, and renews the life of grace received at baptism. You know, our baptism was what cleansed us of sin, welcomed us in the family of God, and made it possible for us to become holy in Christ, to become the men and women that we want to be, that God has made us to be. And it's here at this table, receiving the body and blood of our Lord, that we receive the renewal every week, every day if we want, that will make that life of holiness possible. And so if you at some point realize during the week in your life, like, man, this is hard. I don't feel like I can do this. That should point you back here. We can't do it ourselves. Any yearning, any worry, any struggle, any fear should immediately make us think, that's why I need renewal. It shouldn't lead you to despair. The devil will do his best to do that. It should just remind us of the fact we come here to receive everything we need, and we should expect it. When we receive the Eucharist in faith, amazing things will happen. One of a fun fact, if you receive in faith and you don't have any mortal sin on your soul, your venial sins are wiped away. You don't even have to go to confession in that sense. Like if you have venial sins right now, you're like, all right, I haven't made it to confession. You're welcome to receive. We only refrain from receiving when there's mortal sin in our hearts. But after you receive communion today, whatever venial sins are on your soul are cleansed in communion. It's in the Catechism. 1394. You can read it for yourself. Amazing. Now, you still want to go to confession because then you can get penance and that can help with the temporal punishment due to sin. But God loves us so much and wants to give us the strength we need in the fight for holiness that He'll wipe away your venial sins and cleanse and renew you for the week coming ahead just by receiving communion. And there's something more. It's not just about you personally. Hopefully, you have the weight of someone else's need in your heart as well. Someone you love, you want to pray for, you know, need God's grace, perhaps even more than you. This happens here as well. We're going to use Eucharistic Prayer 1, of course, here on the Sunday Mass. And maybe you've heard this line, and remember it. Hopefully it sounds familiar. Remember, Lord, your servants and all gathered here whose faith and devotion are known to you. For them, we offer you this sacrifice of praise. Like I just said, Eucharist offered to God for your benefit. But then it says, for them, we offer you the sacrifice of praise, or they offer it for themselves and all who are dear to them. There's two things going on here. We're offering Mass, this holy sacrifice, for the people of God who are here worshiping. But you don't come empty-handed. Like, full participation is not just singing and listening. It's offering the sacrifice of your life to God and carrying with you whatever intentions you have. You can unite that to the sacrifice on this altar. I mean, we always say, right? And now let us each offer to God the intentions that we bring to this Mass in the silence of our hearts. Yeah. That's when we have a moment to say, Lord, here's the person I want to pray for. I lift them up to you in this moment when we're praying together the most powerful prayer that exists, the Holy Mass. Never come to Mass without an intention. It can be yourself, of course. But maybe there's someone else you know who needs a prayer, who needs, you know, the most grace that we can get for them through our prayers. You're at the Mass. At that moment, in that moment of silence, hopefully it's long enough for you to think of it and call to mind your intention. Say, Lord, I offer this Mass for myself in this struggle I'm having, for this loved one, for this random person I met who asked me to pray for them. Never come to Mass without something in your hands, so to speak. Because you're going to get a lot of grace receiving communion. Why not take advantage of that moment for someone else as well? If we don't, we're settling for less. And God's Jesus is probably up there like, it's always so much more here than maybe we will ever know. But today, here's what I want you to think about. That at every Mass, you are renewed and prepared for whatever struggles come this week, and you can help someone else as well.
So just why was it that the fella I saw chose to be on a stationary bike in the presence of so many great bike trails the world may never know? But we can speculate. One reason could be it's dangerous. Dangerous to ride a real bike on real trails. You could fall, you could run into someone. On this island, there are wild ponies. Lord only knows what could happen if one of those gets in the way. Something similar is the case with the Eucharist. It's dangerous to receive the Eucharist with true faith because God's love does not enter a human heart without hurting, damaging, breaking the sin, the hardness, and changing us. It can be painful, dangerous if you want to stay the way you are. So think about that. Your heart today has been filled with the Eucharist. God will change you into the person He made you to be as much as you let Him.